Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. I am your still in the process of returning to full speed host, Mark Call. And we're talking today about some of the other really important aspects to be aware of and certainly prepared for concerning the big lie, which is arguably bigger than it's ever been before in human history. Come to think of it, we were warned about that too in places like Matthew chapter 24. I recounted in the first segment today just a few of the stories that have come out in the last week alone, making the point that although the big lie is out there and it's pervasive, the truth is still being revealed. We've been promised that as well for these times, but it certainly does require some effort on our part to search it out and to be not deceived. Where I want to go next has to do with the great big whopping lies surrounding what is arguably the greatest mass murder attempt in human history, as well as the most pervasive bioweapon. I'm talking, of course, about the not vaccine, the DNA-modifying mRNA poke that so many millions of people have already been duped into taking, not only turning themselves into human guinea pigs, but arguably a great big human bioreactor to develop variants of COVID-1984 itself, along with a whole lot of spike proteins. What kind of evil concocts and executes such a diabolically satanic plan? Well, that question alone takes us to the heart of why Adolf Hitler suggested that the big lie was so effective. Because most people see themselves as inherently good, and they can't believe that anybody would tell such a great big stinking fetid whopping lie, much less that they'd be willing to commit the kind of atrocities that these people are. And as a result, they have real trouble believing that anybody else could possibly be so horrible, and that can, is, and will get a whole lot of them killed. Which is why your host often starts off, when it comes to the depth of deception in the human heart, with this warning right out of the prophet Jeremiah from Scripture. The human heart is, quote, deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, certainly our Creator can, even if we can't, but at least we can be aware of what He's warning us about. So let's get to that point, starting with some of the latest revelations and even admissions about the Zyklon B poke that have come out since last week. Here's some really interesting news from the British equivalent of VAERS, or the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. It comes courtesy of America's frontline doctors. If you suspect there's not so much as a hint of it on the WAPO or New York Times, you're absolutely right. And it's called an urgent British report calling for the complete cessation, you heard that right, of COVID vaccine in humans. After an urgent preliminary report was issued from what's called yellow card data across the pond from the UK-based Evidence-Based Medicine Consultancy Limited. It was submitted to their Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, or MHRA, and it states that they now have had more than enough evidence on the yellow card system to declare the COVID-19 vaccines, ready for this, unsafe for use in humans, unquote. The report grouped the data from their version of VAERS into broad, specific, clinically relevant categories based on pathology-specific keywords like bleeding, clotting, and ADRs, immune system ADRs, pain ADRs, neurological ADRs, those involving loss of sight, hearing, speech, or smell, and pregnancy. And they went on to say, we're aware of the limitations of pharmacovigilance data and understand that information on reported adverse drug reactions should not be interpreted as meaning that the medicine in question generally causes the observed effect or is unsafe to use. We're sharing this preliminary report due to the urgent need to communicate information that should lead to cessation of the vaccination rollout while a full investigation is conducted. There's a cite in the piece here from a recent paper by Seneff and Nye noting that potential acute and long-term pathologies of the COVID-19 poke include pathogenic priming, multisystem inflammatory disease, autoimmunity, allergic reactions, anaphylaxis, antibody-dependent enhancement, or ADEs, activation of latent viral infections, neurodegeneration and prion diseases, the emergence of novel variants, and we're already seeing that, of SARS-CoV-2. And, of course, the infamous integration of the spike protein gene into human DNA. Quote, it's now apparent these products in the bloodstream are toxic to humans. An immediate halt to the vaccination program is required whilst a full and independent safety analysis is undertaken to investigate the full extent of the harms, which the UK yellow card data suggests include, but I guess are not limited to, thromboembolism, multisystem inflammatory disease, immune suppression, autoimmunity and anaphylaxis, as well as ADE, or antibody-dependent enhancement, unquote. And you can guess the rest, folks. Don't hold your breath. You're probably not going to hear about this via the waste stream, and it's a virtual lead pipe cinch that no major government in U.S. or in America is actually going to do anything to protect the people that these so-called regulatory agencies, hardy har har, were once allegedly set up to do. Somehow I find myself hearkening back to a line from Ray Bradbury's famous book, later the movie, Fahrenheit 451, where one of the characters said, hey, did you know there was a time when firemen actually put out fires? Obviously, we can now say the same thing about regulatory agencies in the field of public health. Yeah, sure. This bit of news out of Texas, where somebody at least wearing a black robe tossed out a lawsuit by nurses at Houston Methodist Hospital concerning whether or not they still have any constitutionally protected rights. A federal judge, says Christina Lehler for the Gateway Pundit, tossed out the lawsuit filed by a nurse along with a lot of co-plaintiffs against Houston Methodist Hospital over requirements that all employees, Octung, be vaccinated, vis-a-poke, whether it's a real vaccine or not, against the booga booga flu. 117 employees, as it turned out, evidently aren't worth a cup of warm spit. We'll come back to the so-called ruling in a minute. That Jennifer Bridges, RN at the hospital, filed because doctors and others are being forced from their practices and ultimately left with no choice but to abandon their patients. The lawsuit argued that the vaccine mandate, however evil it might obviously be, violates not only U.S. statutes and individual rights, once guaranteed by that Bill of Rights thing, but the Nuremberg Codes as well, because they would allow Americans to refuse what are equally obvious to any blithering idiot not wearing a black robe, unapproved and experimental treatments. David Bernard, CEO of Houston Methodist San Jacinto Hospital, told employees, if you don't like the mandates, you can find a job elsewhere. Quote, 100% vaccination is more important than your individual freedom. Oh, and by extension, folks, your health and your life, too, you worthless peons, you. Because sick, every one of you, he said, is replaceable. And if you die, we got more coming. If you don't like what you're doing, you can leave, and we will replace your spot. Unquote. This scumbag told his employees. Oh, and no surprise here, by the time I did this recording, folks, every one of them had been deep-sixed. And a scathing ruling issued on Saturday, U.S. District Judge Sick Lynn Hodges of Houston deemed lead plaintiff Jennifer Bridges' contention that the vaccines are, as they obviously are, folks, if you just read, quote, experimental and dangerous, to be false. Gee, sounds like his resume probably includes a stint as a Twitter and Facebook fact checker. And otherwise, listen to this, irrelevant. He also found that her likening the vaccine requirement to the forced Nazi medical experimentation during the Holocaust was, quote, reprehensible. When we do it, it's not reprehensible. It's not merely laudable. It's law. Hughes also ruled that making the vaccinations a condition of employment was not coercion. And I guess neither, of course, is making one of his clerks perform oral sex on him as a condition of employment. What an unmitigated reprobate, folks. This person isn't fit to sit in a jail, much less a courtroom. Jared Woodfill, a Houston lawyer representing Bridges and the other clients, promised an appeal, commenting that, quote, all of my clients continue to be committed to fighting this unjust policy, but what's shocking is that many of my clients were on the front line treating COVID-positive patients at Texas Medical Hospital during the height of the, he didn't spell it right, pandemic, and as a result, many of them contracted COVID-19, so as a thank you for their service and sacrifice, Methodist Hospital awards them a pink slip and sentences them to bankruptcy. Full stop here, folks. Let me explain at least a bit of my anger. Over the last week or so, while I've been in the process of recuperation, I read one of the best books I've seen in quite a few years. It's historical fiction called The Pillars of the Earth by Ken Follett, and basically it describes a time during the Middle Ages in Britain when corrupt earls and kings literally killed with impunity and ran roughshod over the peons and peasants and other hoi polloi of the time. Courts be damned. And as I read this story, I couldn't help but think that Judge Lynn Hughes, along with David Bernard and, of course, Anthony Fauci, would probably feel right at home in the British countryside around the time of Thomas Becket. And don't think for a second, folks, that there aren't some very real and very important lessons here. I want to begin to connect all the dots today with this story that really helps to connect so many aspects of the great big whopping lie. It has a number of corollaries and features, of course, but certainly one of them is the obvious intent to kill millions or perhaps tens or even hundreds of millions of people. It has to do with the machinations that were used to declare that the vaccine, which turns out not to be a vaccine at all, it's more like genetic reprogramming through a needle, must be taken by all of the slaves out there. You must not know what's in it. It must not be tested because, hey, why have a test if you already know what's going to happen? The purveyors must be the only ones actually immunized from real responsibility, and it must be done under the emergency rules, which means any and all alternatives not only need to be suppressed, but suppressed by any means necessary. Enter Dr. Joseph Mercola and a piece called COVID, Ivermectin, and the Crime of the Century. It's on his website. I saw it up on Lou Rockwell as well. And he begins with a link to an interview by Dr. Brent Weinstein with Dr. Pierre Corey about the importance of early treatment of COVID-19 and the shameful censoring of information about ivermectin, which has been shown to be very useful against the infection and thus verboten for the peons to know about. So he continues, there's no small irony in the fact that YouTube deleted this interview, which he says is why I embedded the BitChute version, and how this interview could possibly be labeled as misinformation is a mystery, considering all they do is discuss published research, and not to mention they're both credentialed medical science experts, and on this subject in particular. Corey, a lung and ICU specialist and former professor of medicine at St. Louis Aurora Medical Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is the president and chief medical officer of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, or FLCCC, another founding member of which is Dr. Paul Merrick, who, as noted by Corey, is the most published intensive care specialist still practicing medicine and seeing patients. Merrick, known to have created an effective sepsis treatment protocol, was asked by a group of peers early on in the pandemic to help create a treatment protocol for COVID-19. The resulting collaboration led to the creation of the FLCCC itself. Each of the five founding members has treated critical illness for decades, and as Weinstein noted, quote, they're unimpeachable. You couldn't ask for better credentials. You couldn't ask for a better publication record. Yet, continues Mercola, despite stellar credentials and being on the front lines treating hundreds of COVID-19 patients, they have been dismissed as, quote, kooks on the fringe, making wild-eyed claims, says Weinstein. How can that be? Well, initially, the FLCCC insisted, based on evidence, that COVID-19 was a corticosteroid-dependent disease and that corticosteroids were a crucial part of an effective treatment. Said Corey, I was actually invited to give Senate testimony back in May 2020, where I testified that it was critical to use corticosteroids. Lives are being lost, in other words, because we weren't. And as you might know, I got killed for that. We got killed for that. We were totally criticized for not having an evidence base. Yet, our reading of the evidence was that you had to use it. So that's basically how we came together, and that formed the first components of our protocol, which was initially dubbed Math Plus, an acronym for the key components of the treatment. But after several tweaks and updates, the prophylaxis and early treatment protocol is now called iMask Plus 3, while the hospital treatment is called iMask Plus 4 due to the addition of ivermectin. All of these protocols are available for download on the FLCC Alliance website in multiple languages. and the clinical and scientific rationale for the protocol has been peer-reviewed and was published in the Journal of Intensive Care Medicine mid-December 2020. Since those early days, continues Dr. Mercola, FLCCC has been vindicated, and corticosteroids as well as blood thinners are now part of the standard care of COVID-19 patients in many places. But the same cannot be said for the remainder of their protocols, including the use of ivermectin, which continues to be suppressed despite robust clinical evidence supporting its use in all phases of COVID-19. Quote, the data shows the ability of the drug ivermectin to prevent COVID-19, to keep those with early symptoms from progressing to the hyperinflammatory phase of the disease, and to even help critically ill patients recover. It goes on to say that numerous clinical studies, including peer-reviewed randomized controlled trials, showed large magnitude benefits of ivermectin in prophylaxis, early treatment, and also in late-stage disease. Taken together, dozens of clinical trials have now emerged from around the world that are substantial enough to reliably assess clinical efficacy. Furthermore, continues Dr. Mercola, Corey has testified to the benefits of ivermectin before a number of COVID-19 panels, including the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs, December 2020, and the National Institutes of Health COVID-19 Treatment Guidelines Panel in January of this year. And as he noted, they rather quickly realized that COVID-19 was a disease with very specific phases, and that successful treatment depended on the phase the patient was currently in. And hey, folks, yours truly can at least in part, the part that I remember, testify to some of that. It starts out as a general viral syndrome, much like a cold or flu. Most patients recover without incidents. However, in a subset of patients, things take a turn for the worse. After day 5, their oxygen level starts dropping and lung inflammation sets in. Quote, we now know it's a cell called a macrophage that gets activated and attacks the lungs, explains Corey. It's sort of an immune response that's attacking the lungs. The lungs start to fail, so it's predominantly a severe lung disease. And he added, we knew relatively early on that by the time they get to the ICU, there's not a lot of viral replication going on. In fact, you can't culture a virus after about day 7 or 8, so it's actually a disease of inflammation, not viral invasion. So you didn't have to go after the virus at that point. You had to actually check the inflammation. What we think triggers the inflammation is actually the viral debris. It's the RNA that triggers this massive response. It's not the virus. It's actually the debris of the dead virus that does it. Unquote. And that statement certainly resonates with those of us who suggest that just maybe there are some really nasty elements associated with the debris, in particular things associated with spike proteins and the mRNA-based viral debris shed by the vaccinated. I gotta ask it, does anybody out there actually think for a second you're gonna hear about an honest clinical study on that score? Corey notes that after having treated the first handful of patients, he realized that anticoagulants or blood thinners were needed as there was abnormal blood clotting going on in all of them. Yet for some reason, the medical community was again told not to do it because there were no clinical trials supporting the use of anticoagulants for a viral illness. It was bizarre, he said. They were like, you can't observe, you can't make clinical reasoning, you can't deduce, you need a trial before you can do anything. Everybody talks about evidence-based. I'm like, what about experience-based medicine? I've been doing this for 30 years. Why can't I do what my experience tells me to do? You couldn't actually doctor, he continued. I felt like I was being handcuffed, and I've never seen that in my life before. I have the sense, he said, that doctors have been forcibly demoted from the position of scientific clinician to technician. I've never been asked before to get advice from desk jockeys. I mean, they're not on the front lines. I've never been asked to do that before. I've always been asked to use the best extent of my experience and judgment and insight to best help the patient. That, he said, is the oath I took. And that's a very key point, folks. Look what's been done here in the case specifically of this particular plandemic. And ask yourself the really important question. Step back and look at the bigger picture for a second. From asinine, bogus, anti-scientific mask mandates and nothing but voodoo-based socialist distancing, to skipping animal testing and throwing away the Nuremberg protocols, to mass censorship and the long lusted for vaccine passports, to mass experimentation on humans in a global petri dish, there's something very, very different going on with this pandemic than anything we've ever seen before in the history of the world, which arguably has killed less people than the supposed cure may have already, which turns out to have been developed in a lab and lied about. by the very same people that have been turning the crank all along. Go figure. From there, we'll move on to a related part of the great big stinking fetid lie. Corey spends a significant portion of that 2.5-hour interview, says Mercola, reviewing the evidence for ivermectin, a drug with a long history of use as an antiparasitic. It's been credited with virtually eradicating onchocerciasis, or river blindness, a condition caused by a parasitic worm. But in April of 2020, an Australian group showed that ivermectin eradicated all viruses they'd studied in as little as 48 hours, at least in a petri dish. Due to the state of emergency the world was in, some countries, including Peru, decided to recommend ivermectin to their population. I guess they actually cared about trying to save people's lives. It was well known that the medicine was safe, so the risk of doing so, imagine this, folks, was very low. As was the trend, Peruvian officials were roundly criticized for using the unproven remedy. Hey, we can't have that alternative, you know, if we need to declare an emergency use authorization. Shortly thereafter, they removed it from the national guidelines. Wonder who got to them. Some states continued to give it out, though. According to Corey, each ivermectin campaign resulted in a precipitous decline in both cases and deaths. Dr. Merrick says the story was the first in the group to really take notice of the remarkable consistency in these studies of ivermectin. Corey dove into the research right behind him and came to the conclusion that there was indeed something very special about this drug, and the population-based evidence was also very strong. And Corey went on to point out that when it comes to the calls for randomized controlled trials, there's a very important point not to overlook. Once you can see from the clinical evidence that something really is working, then conducting controlled trials becomes more or less unethical, because you know you're condemning some in the control group to poor outcomes or possibly even death. By not giving them the thing that you already know just might have saved them. And this, ironically, is the exact same argument that vaccine purveyors are now using to justify the elimination of control groups by giving everyone the vaccine. All the serfs are in the petri dish now. Dr. Corey harkens back to that optimistic time, saying, "When I posted our preprint, November 13th of 2020, I literally thought the pandemic was over," he said. "We showed the basic science level. We showed multiple clinical trials. We showed the epidemiologic effects. Everything was there to show that this is an intervention on the par with vaccines that could literally extinguish the pandemic. And quickly, I thought at the beginning that it was as simple as putting the evidence out there. But what happened? Crickets. Nothing happened." He went on to describe something else that lies in stark contrast to the vaccine propagandists, pushers, and purveyors all around the world. "You have dozens," he said, "of randomized controlled trials conducted by interested and committed clinicians from oftentimes low and middle income countries around the world. And there's no conflict of interest. None of them is going to make $1 million, much less $1 trillion, folks, by finding out that ivermectin works with COVID. None of them have a conflict of interest." Why, what do you bet they don't even take ads from pharmaceutical companies on their news programs? Ponder the significance of that and compare and contrast for just a second. But back now to the incredulity that Dr. Corey found so overwhelming when he realized that they really were intent on covering up the truth and lying to a whole lot of people, even if it destroyed or even killed millions of them. Quote, "I can't believe that this is occurring. Literally, people are dying because they don't know about this medicine. Providers are being told not to use the medicine. And I've never studied a medicine which has more evidence than this." Now, if you get the impression, and I'm going to say it outright, that this observation really pisses off your host, because I know firsthand how important some of that information can be, you're absolutely on target. I've been talking about things like HCQ, zinc, and ivermectin for over a year now. I even had some of the veterinary stuff on hand for our goats. I just didn't know the specifics. Dosages for humans. How to adjust for the weights. In hindsight, I'd have probably been better off just guessing than ending up on a flight for life and going for oh-so-conventional treatment at a not-so-local hospital. The prophet Isaiah said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." But in this case, the problem is, it's being deliberately withheld, and we know it. The deception is very real and huge, so don't be deceived. Your life and the lives of those you love depend on it. Seek and ye shall find, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours. We'll be right back. Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. I am your still in the process of returning to full speed host, Mark Call. And we're talking today about some of the other really important aspects to be aware of and certainly prepared for concerning the big lie, which is arguably bigger than it's ever been before in human history. Come to think of it, we were warned about that too in places like Matthew chapter 24. I recounted in the first segment today just a few of the stories that have come out in the last week alone, making the point that although the big lie is out there and it's pervasive, the truth is still being revealed. We've been promised that as well for these times, but it certainly does require some effort on our part to search it out and to be not deceived. Where I want to go next has to do with the great big whopping lies surrounding what is arguably the greatest mass murder attempt in human history, as well as the most pervasive bioweapon. I'm talking, of course, about the not vaccine, the DNA-modifying mRNA poke that so many millions of people have already been duped into taking, not only turning themselves into human guinea pigs, but arguably a great big human bioreactor to develop variants of COVID-1984 itself, along with a whole lot of spike proteins. What kind of evil concocts and executes such a diabolically satanic plan? Well, that question alone takes us to the heart of why Adolf Hitler suggested that the big lie was so effective. Because most people see themselves as inherently good, and they can't believe that anybody would tell such a great big stinking fetid whopping lie, much less that they'd be willing to commit the kind of atrocities that these people are. And as a result, they have real trouble believing that anybody else could possibly be so horrible, and that can, is, and will get a whole lot of them killed. Which is why your host often starts off, when it comes to the depth of deception in the human heart, with this warning right out of the prophet Jeremiah from Scripture. The human heart is, quote, deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, certainly our Creator can, even if we can't, but at least we can be aware of what He's warning us about. So let's get to that point, starting with some of the latest revelations and even admissions about the Zyklon B poke that have come out since last week. Here's some really interesting news from the British equivalent of VAERS, or the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. It comes courtesy of America's frontline doctors. If you suspect there's not so much as a hint of it on the WAPO or New York Times, you're absolutely right. And it's called an urgent British report calling for the complete cessation, you heard that right, of COVID vaccine in humans. After an urgent preliminary report was issued from what's called yellow card data across the pond from the UK-based Evidence-Based Medicine Consultancy Limited. It was submitted to their Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, or MHRA, and it states that they now have had more than enough evidence on the yellow card system to declare the COVID-19 vaccines, ready for this, unsafe for use in humans, unquote. The report grouped the data from their version of VAERS into broad, specific, clinically relevant categories based on pathology-specific keywords like bleeding, clotting, and ADRs, immune system ADRs, pain ADRs, neurological ADRs, those involving loss of sight, hearing, speech, or smell, and pregnancy. And they went on to say, we're aware of the limitations of pharmacovigilance data and understand that information on reported adverse drug reactions should not be interpreted as meaning that the medicine in question generally causes the observed effect or is unsafe to use. We're sharing this preliminary report due to the urgent need to communicate information that should lead to cessation of the vaccination rollout while a full investigation is conducted. There's a cite in the piece here from a recent paper by Seneff and Nye noting that potential acute and long-term pathologies of the COVID-19 poke include pathogenic priming, multisystem inflammatory disease, autoimmunity, allergic reactions, anaphylaxis, antibody-dependent enhancement, or ADEs, activation of latent viral infections, neurodegeneration and prion diseases, the emergence of novel variants, and we're already seeing that, of SARS-CoV-2. And, of course, the infamous integration of the spike protein gene into human DNA. Quote, It's now apparent these products in the bloodstream are toxic to humans. An immediate halt to the vaccination program is required, whilst a full and independent safety analysis is undertaken to investigate the full extent of the harms, which the UK yellow card data suggests include, but I guess are not limited to, thromboembolism, multisystem inflammatory disease, immune suppression, autoimmunity and anaphylaxis, as well as ADE, or antibody-dependent enhancement, unquote. And you can guess the rest, folks. Don't hold your breath. You're probably not going to hear about this via the waste stream, and it's a virtual lead pipe cinch that no major government in U.S. or in America is actually going to do anything to protect the people that these so-called regulatory agencies, hardy har har, were once allegedly set up to do. Somehow I find myself hearkening back to a line from Ray Bradbury's famous book, later the movie, Fahrenheit 451, where one of the characters said, hey, did you know there was a time when firemen actually put out fires? Obviously, we can now say the same thing about regulatory agencies in the field of public health. Yeah, sure. This bit of news out of Texas, where somebody at least wearing a black robe tossed out a lawsuit by nurses at Houston Methodist Hospital concerning whether or not they still have any constitutionally protected rights. A federal judge, says Christina Layla for the Gateway Pundit, tossed out the lawsuit filed by a nurse along with a lot of co-plaintiffs against Houston Methodist Hospital over requirements that all employees, Octung, be vaccinated, vis the poke, whether it's a real vaccine or not, against the booga booga flu. 117 employees, as it turned out, evidently aren't worth a cup of warm spit. We'll come back to the so-called ruling in a minute. That Jennifer Bridges, RN at the hospital, filed because doctors and others are being forced from their practices and ultimately left with no choice but to abandon their patients. The lawsuit argued that the vaccine mandate, however evil it might obviously be, violates not only U.S. statutes and individual rights, once guaranteed by that Bill of Rights thing, but the Nuremberg Codes as well, because they would allow Americans to refuse what are equally obvious to any blithering idiot not wearing a black robe, unapproved and experimental treatments. David Bernard, CEO of Houston Methodist San Jacinto Hospital, told employees, if you don't like the mandates, you can find a job elsewhere. Quote, 100% vaccination is more important than your individual freedom. Oh, and by extension, folks, your health and your life, too, you worthless peons, you. Because sick, every one of you, he said, is replaceable. And if you die, we got more coming. If you don't like what you're doing, you can leave, and we will replace your spot. Unquote. This scumbag told his employees. Oh, and no surprise here, by the time I did this recording, folks, every one of them had been deep-sixed. In a scathing ruling issued on Saturday, U.S. District Judge Sick Lynn Hodges of Houston deemed lead plaintiff Jennifer Bridges' contention that the vaccines are, as they obviously are, folks, if you just read, quote, experimental and dangerous, to be false. Gee, sounds like his resume probably includes a stint as a Twitter and Facebook fact checker. And otherwise, listen to this, irrelevant. He also found that her likening the vaccine requirement to the forced Nazi medical experimentation during the Holocaust was, quote, reprehensible. When we do it, it's not reprehensible. It's not merely laudable. It's law. Hughes also ruled that making the vaccinations a condition of employment was not coercion. And I guess neither, of course, is making one of his clerks perform oral sex on him as a condition of employment. What an unmitigated reprobate, folks. This person isn't fit to sit in a jail, much less a courtroom. Jared Woodfill, a Houston lawyer representing Bridges and the other clients, promised an appeal, commenting that, quote, all of my clients continue to be committed to fighting this unjust policy, but what's shocking is that many of my clients were on the front line treating COVID-positive patients at Texas Medical Hospital during the height of the, he didn't spell it right, pandemic, and as a result, many of them contracted COVID-19, so as a thank you for their service and sacrifice, Methodist Hospital awards them a pink slip and sentences them to bankruptcy. Full stop here, folks. Let me explain at least a bit of my anger. Over the last week or so, while I've been in the process of recuperation, I read one of the best books I've seen in quite a few years. It's historical fiction called The Pillars of the Earth by Ken Follett, and basically it describes a time during the Middle Ages in Britain when corrupt earls and kings literally killed with impunity and ran roughshod over the peons and peasants and other hoi polloi of the time. Courts be damned. And as I read this story, I couldn't help but think that Judge Lynn Hughes, along with David Bernard and, of course, Anthony Fauci, would probably feel right at home in the British countryside around the time of Thomas Becket. And don't think for a second, folks, that there aren't some very real and very important lessons here. I want to begin to connect all the dots today with this story that really helps to connect so many aspects of the great big whopping lie. It has a number of corollaries and features, of course, but certainly one of them is the obvious intent to kill millions or perhaps tens or even hundreds of millions of people. It has to do with the machinations that were used to declare that the vaccine, which turns out not to be a vaccine at all, it's more like genetic reprogramming through a needle, must be taken by all of the slaves out there. You must not know what's in it. It must not be tested because, hey, why have a test if you already know what's going to happen? The purveyors must be the only ones actually immunized from real responsibility, and it must be done under the emergency rules, which means any and all alternatives not only need to be suppressed, but suppressed by any means necessary. Enter Dr. Joseph Mercola and a piece called COVID, Ivermectin, and the Crime of the Century. It's on his website. I saw it up on Lou Rockwell as well. And he begins with a link to an interview by Dr. Brent Weinstein with Dr. Pierre Corey about the importance of early treatment of COVID-19 and the shameful censoring of information about ivermectin, which has been shown to be very useful against the infection, and thus verboten for the peons to know about. So he continues, there's no small irony in the fact that YouTube deleted this interview, which he says is why I embedded the BitChute version, and how this interview could possibly be labeled as misinformation is a mystery, considering all they do is discuss published research, and not to mention they're both credentialed medical science experts, and on this subject in particular. Corey, a lung and ICU specialist and former professor of medicine at St. Louis Aurora Medical Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is the president and chief medical officer of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, or FLCCC, another founding member of which is Dr. Paul Merrick, who, as noted by Corey, is the most published intensive care specialist still practicing medicine and seeing patients. Merrick, known to have created an effective sepsis treatment protocol, was asked by a group of peers early on in the pandemic to help create a treatment protocol for COVID-19. The resulting collaboration led to the creation of the FLCCC itself. Each of the five founding members has treated critical illness for decades, and as Weinstein noted, quote, they're unimpeachable. You couldn't ask for better credentials. You couldn't ask for a better publication record. Yet, continues Mercola, despite stellar credentials and being on the front lines treating hundreds of COVID-19 patients, they have been dismissed as, quote, kooks on the fringe, making wild-eyed claims, says Weinstein. How can that be? Well, initially, the FLCCC insisted, based on evidence, that COVID-19 was a corticosteroid-dependent disease and that corticosteroids were a crucial part of an effective treatment. Said Corey, I was actually invited to give Senate testimony back in May 2020, where I testified that it was critical to use corticosteroids. Lives are being lost, in other words, because we weren't. And as you might know, I got killed for that. We got killed for that. We were totally criticized for not having an evidence base. Yet, our reading of the evidence was that you had to use it. So that's basically how we came together, and that formed the first components of our protocol, which was initially dubbed Math Plus, an acronym for the key components of the treatment. But after several tweaks and updates, the prophylaxis and early treatment protocol is now called iMask Plus 3, while the hospital treatment is called iMask Plus 4 due to the addition of ivermectin. All of these protocols are available for download on the FLCC Alliance website in multiple languages. and the clinical and scientific rationale for the protocol has been peer-reviewed and was published in the Journal of Intensive Care Medicine mid-December 2020. Since those early days, continues Dr. Mercola, FLCCC has been vindicated, and corticosteroids as well as blood thinners are now part of the standard care of COVID-19 patients in many places. But the same cannot be said for the remainder of their protocols, including the use of ivermectin, which continues to be suppressed despite robust clinical evidence supporting its use in all phases of COVID-19. Quote, the data shows the ability of the drug ivermectin to prevent COVID-19, to keep those with early symptoms from progressing to the hyperinflammatory phase of the disease, and to even help critically ill patients recover. It goes on to say that numerous clinical studies, including peer-reviewed randomized controlled trials, showed large magnitude benefits of ivermectin in prophylaxis, early treatment, and also in late-stage disease. Taken together, dozens of clinical trials have now emerged from around the world that are substantial enough to reliably assess clinical efficacy. Furthermore, continues Dr. Mercola, Corey has testified to the benefits of ivermectin before a number of COVID-19 panels, including the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs, December 2020, and the National Institutes of Health COVID-19 Treatment Guidelines Panel in January of this year. And as he noted, they rather quickly realized that COVID-19 was a disease with very specific phases, and that successful treatment depended on the phase the patient was currently in. And hey, folks, yours truly can at least in part, the part that I remember, testify to some of that. It starts out as a general viral syndrome, much like a cold or flu. Most patients recover without incidents. However, in a subset of patients, things take a turn for the worse. After day 5, their oxygen level starts dropping and lung inflammation sets in. Quote, we now know it's a cell called a macrophage that gets activated and attacks the lungs, explains Corey. It's sort of an immune response that's attacking the lungs. The lungs start to fail, so it's predominantly a severe lung disease. And he added, we knew relatively early on that by the time they get to the ICU, there's not a lot of viral replication going on. In fact, you can't culture a virus after about day 7 or 8, so it's actually a disease of inflammation, not viral invasion. So you didn't have to go after the virus at that point. You had to actually check the inflammation. What we think triggers the inflammation is actually the viral debris. It's the RNA that triggers this massive response. It's not the virus. It's actually the debris of the dead virus that does it. Unquote. And that statement certainly resonates with those of us who suggest that just maybe there are some really nasty elements associated with the debris, in particular things associated with spike proteins and the mRNA-based viral debris shed by the vaccinated. I gotta ask it, does anybody out there actually think for a second you're gonna hear about an honest clinical study on that score? Corey notes that after having treated the first handful of patients, he realized that anticoagulants or blood thinners were needed, as there was abnormal blood clotting going on in all of them. Yet for some reason, the medical community was again told not to do it because there were no clinical trials supporting the use of anticoagulants for a viral illness. It was bizarre, he said. They were like, you can't observe, you can't make clinical reasoning, you can't deduce, you need a trial before you can do anything. Everybody talks about evidence-based. I'm like, what about experience-based medicine? I've been doing this for 30 years. Why can't I do what my experience tells me to do? You couldn't actually doctor, he continued. I felt like I was being handcuffed, and I've never seen that in my life before. I have the sense, he said, that doctors have been forcibly demoted from the position of scientific clinician to technician. I've never been asked before to get advice from desk jockeys. I mean, they're not on the front lines. I've never been asked to do that before. I've always been asked to use the best extent of my experience and judgment and insight to best help the patient. That, he said, is the oath I took. And that's a very key point, folks. Look what's been done here in the case specifically of this particular plandemic. And ask yourself the really important question. Step back and look at the bigger picture for a second. From asinine, bogus, anti-scientific mask mandates and nothing but voodoo-based socialist distancing, to skipping animal testing and throwing away the Nuremberg protocols, to mass censorship and the long-lusted-for vaccine passports, to mass experimentation on humans in a global petri dish, there's something very, very different going on with this pandemic than anything we've ever seen before in the history of the world, which arguably has killed less people than the supposed cure may have already, which turns out to have been developed in a lab and lied about. by the very same people that have been turning the crank all along. Go figure. From there, we'll move on to a related part of the great big stinking fetid lie. Corey spends a significant portion of that 2.5-hour interview, says Mercola, reviewing the evidence for ivermectin, a drug with a long history of use as an antiparasitic. It's been credited with virtually eradicating onchocerciasis, or river blindness, a condition caused by a parasitic worm. But in April of 2020, an Australian group showed that ivermectin eradicated all viruses they'd studied in as little as 48 hours, at least in a petri dish. Due to the state of emergency the world was in, some countries, including Peru, decided to recommend ivermectin to their population. I guess they actually cared about trying to save people's lives. It was well known that the medicine was safe, so the risk of doing so, imagine this, folks, was very low. As was the trend, Peruvian officials were roundly criticized for using the unproven remedy. Hey, we can't have that alternative, you know, if we need to declare an emergency use authorization. Shortly thereafter, they removed it from the national guidelines. Wonder who got to them. Some states continued to give it out, though. According to Corey, each ivermectin campaign resulted in a precipitous decline in both cases and deaths. Dr. Merrick says the story was the first in the group to really take notice of the remarkable consistency in these studies of ivermectin. Corey dove into the research right behind him and came to the conclusion that there was indeed something very special about this drug, and the population-based evidence was also very strong. And Corey went on to point out that when it comes to the calls for randomized controlled trials, there's a very important point not to overlook. Once you can see from the clinical evidence that something really is working, then conducting controlled trials becomes more or less unethical, because you know you're condemning some in the control group to poor outcomes or possibly even death. By not giving them the thing that you already know just might have saved them. And this, ironically, is the exact same argument that vaccine purveyors are now using to justify the elimination of control groups by giving everyone the vaccine. All the serfs are in the petri dish now. Dr. Corey harkens back to that optimistic time, saying, "When I posted our preprint, November 13th of 2020, I literally thought the pandemic was over," he said. "We showed the basic science level. We showed multiple clinical trials. We showed the epidemiologic effects. Everything was there to show that this is an intervention on the par with vaccines that could literally extinguish the pandemic. And quickly, I thought at the beginning that it was as simple as putting the evidence out there. But what happened? Crickets. Nothing happened." He went on to describe something else that lies in stark contrast to the vaccine propagandist, pushers, and purveyors all around the world. "You have dozens," he said, "of randomized controlled trials conducted by interested and committed clinicians from oftentimes low and middle income countries around the world. And there's no conflict of interest. None of them is going to make $1 million, much less $1 trillion, folks, by finding out that ivermectin works with COVID. None of them have a conflict of interest." Why, what do you bet they don't even take ads from pharmaceutical companies on their news programs? Ponder the significance of that and compare and contrast for just a second. But back now to the incredulity that Dr. Corey found so overwhelming when he realized that they really were intent on covering up the truth and lying to a whole lot of people, even if it destroyed or even killed millions of them. Quote, "I can't believe that this is occurring. Literally, people are dying because they don't know about this medicine. Providers are being told not to use the medicine. And I've never studied a medicine which has more evidence than this." Now, if you get the impression, and I'm going to say it outright, that this observation really pisses off your host, because I know firsthand how important some of that information can be, you're absolutely on target. I've been talking about things like HCQ, zinc, and ivermectin for over a year now. I even had some of the veterinary stuff on hand for our goats. I just didn't know the specifics. Dosages for humans. How to adjust for the weights. In hindsight, I'd have probably been better off just guessing than ending up on a flight for life and going for oh-so-conventional treatment at a not-so-local hospital. The prophet Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." But in this case, the problem is, it's being deliberately withheld, and we know it. The deception is very real and huge, so don't be deceived. Your life and the lives of those you love depend on it. Seek and ye shall find, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.